Hey, it's Thursday night, and I'm Chip Gibson, a tree hugger, your host, Kayak Fishing Radio. Welcome aboard. The room is filling up, and the lines are lighting up. Holy cow. We got Bill Howard Haywood with us. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Chuck.
You doing all right, man?
Shit, Chuck.
Yeah. We're friends, so... You're tired. I give you that, man. You've been out there.
Yeah, I'm tired, dude. I am wore out.
Yeah. All right. Well, take it easy for a second. Let me see who these other people are. Somebody named Becker. You know him?
Yeah, that dude's wore out too, man. You gotta take your hat off, Mr. Becker. He's been working long hours helping the people that were hit real hard with this Tropical Storm Debbie. So
I guess that's the truth, and we're glad to have him back on board with us there, Mr. Becker.
Yeah, hi, my name's Greg. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and it's great to be here. Thanks for taking my call.
Dude, it is good to hear you, man.
Oh, man, I got to tell you what, it's good to be heard. It's been a long road, been a lot of people who need a lot of help, and there's still a lot of work going on out there, so glad to be able to make it tonight.
That's great, man, and you guys are doing some good work down there, so keep it up, man. I know it's tiring, but it's worthwhile, man. It's worthwhile.
Absolutely.
And also joining us here, we've got, let me see, who is this? 850.
850. Yeah, this is Shark Warp.
Who?
Who? Shark Warp.
Shark Warp.
Shark Warp.
We got a bad intro.
We got a bad intro.
Hang on a second.
Hang on a second.
He's got his radio turned up or something. All right, let's try it again.
All right, let's try it again.
Oh, man, we got a really big speaker.
Yeah, he's got to mute his computer and...
Yeah... You're gonna
so he's on the phone.
Headphones on or something.
There you go. Is this better?
That's better, yes.
Hey, this is actually the first time I'm doing this way. This is Shark Warp. I just joined you guys on Monday, so this is all new to me. So I'm actually driving, listening to you over the phone.
Okay, great. Good to have you on board.
All right, thanks.
And where are you calling from? You're calling. You're on the road, but... What state?
Yeah, I'm calling from Pensacola, Florida.
Pecola, all right, man, my old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Are you?
I'm actually fairly new here. I'm active duty military, and I got stationed here now. And I was researching some of my kayak information, and I came across you guys.
Awesome, man. In fact, that's where I retired out of. And are you there for training, or are you a trainer?
Now I'm actually a permanent party here at Herberfield Air Force Base.
Awesome. There's some great fishing around there. We are going to be able to really hook you up, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different than what I'm used to, but trying to get to learn the tricks of the trade around here.
Okay, awesome, man. So, and you're just first time here on Kayak Fishing Radio. Have you checked out the
Yeah, I did check out the other time. It's my first time calling. I was actually on the chat room on Tuesday night.
Cool.
So I guess was it Tuesday or Monday? Can't remember. But it was pretty interesting.
All right. Well, glad you could join us, and we've got some other guys here. You can just. When you're not talking, just put yourself on mute there because you got a lot of road noise in the background.
Got it. No problem. Sorry about that.
Chime in whenever you want. If you got a question, just go ahead and shout out, all right?
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right. And we've also got with us tonight Mr. Rob DeVore, the Bad Backcast. How you doing, Rob?
All right, Chip. Good to be on. How are you?
I'm good, man. I saw that you had made it over to the East Coast there this past week and got into the ditches.
Yes, sir. That was really interesting, man. Not only from a biological standpoint, you know, like, I'm asking Chuck, you know, where are these fish coming from? And he's like, they don't know, you know, because they're basically where these fish were located, where it's all landlocked. It's not like they can get in and out. So there's got to be some breeder fish in there.
That means
kind of strange.
They're alien fish, man.
Yeah, it's really strange, man. But it was awesome. And I'm not kidding you, Chip. You got about, I don't know, a 5-foot by 3-foot square to throw a, you know, underhand pitch a little crappie jig into. And that's it. And, you know, you're pulling it about 5 feet, and that's it.
It's a good fight.
And sure enough, we're pulling, let's see, Chuck caught about 3 of them, and I got 1. But it was a riot, man. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. Never
cool.
seen anything like it.
All right. You got some video, I heard. You're going to post up a video of it?
No, that's actually for my film.
Oh, okay.
But I did get some really good footage.
Oh, cool. Very cool. All right, so, well, this week, most of you may know, and let me say hey to the folks in the chat room real quick. We got LGB from Charleston, the Fish and Chef, is up there also. A big congrats out to him. A brand new marriage going on, heading down for his honeymoon here, not too long, I think.
Awesome.
And headed for Key West, I believe. So I think he's going to stop and see Chuck and get some fishing in with him. That'll be great. And we look forward to meeting them when we get up to Boondoggle. We'll talk more about that in a minute. I know Bill's in the chat room there. Red Raider and T. Morris, welcome aboard, you guys. And for those listening to the podcast, it's July 12th. And this is the week of ICAST. And for those of you who don't know, ICAST is what? The Interventional Convention of something, Sport Fishermen, whatever. It's a Sport Fishing International group. And all of it's what?
The ASA is the American Sport Fishermen
Association.
The ICAST. I don't think there's really I don't think ICAST stands for anything.
It's not an acronym?
It's not an acronym.
It's just ICAST, huh?
It's just ICAST. That's what it is. Yeah.
But it's a big convention where all of anybody who has to do with sport fishing and all brings their gear in and they tout it there and show up with some new stuff and sport some old stuff. And we had a bunch of our folks and friends down there this week. Bill was there. Chuck should be calling in here shortly, and he was over there. It's down in Orlando this year. It kind of goes back and forth between Orlando. There you go. International Convention of Allied Sport Fishing Trades. Leave it to Mr. Becker, man.
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody. They don't have anything there.
Yeah, but it was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, it was right there.
It was right there, dude. You've got it, man. So, Bill, tell us, man, how did it go, man? You've been there for the last – it started, what, Tuesday?
Yeah, it started Wednesday.
Okay.
So, Wednesday, Isaac – and, well, actually, I got to Denny's first, and then Mark Yaksushi showed up with his crew, his wife, and his 4 kids, and we all had breakfast. And then Isaac Miller, the Nothing, he showed up. We ate breakfast, and it's just a short drive down the street. Went, you know, got our parking and went in and got our badge holders and everything. And then we kind of, Mark and I kind of hung together the first day all together. And Isaac, you know, he had some stuff already planned, some interviews. So we really didn't have too much of an agenda. Mark had some interviews lined up. So, and I had some ideas of some of the vendors that I wanted to go talk to. So we just, you know, we took off and hit it pretty hard the first day. We made some, I think you guys are going to be really pleased. If everything comes through, we're going to have some really good product reviews on yakangler.com coming up within the next, you know, probably, you know, this will probably take us a year to get through them all. You know, we made that many contacts. A lot of cool stuff. I'm just sitting down now. Late yesterday evening, they did the best in show for everything. And so I'm just kind of going through that list right now and compiling that. Today, I was just by myself. Mark had some other commitments. So I did a lot of talking to different lure manufacturers, some clothing manufacturers. There's some stuff out there that's pretty cool, that's new. A lot of the sunglasses I went and talked to today. Unfortunately, there's only four kayak manufacturers there: Hobie, New Canoe, Jackson, and Freedom Hawk. Freedom Hawk had one kayak, and that's it. They didn't have anything else other than just the one kayak there. So I really didn't spend time talking with them. Spent quite a bit of time with New Canoe and Jackson. We did get an interview with Hobie. So I'm probably going to go back tomorrow and talk to them a little bit. But a lot of walking around. It's a huge, there's some pictures there on yakangler.com that don't even begin to describe how this, you know, how big it is. It's huge. But a little disappointed in the lack of the kayak manufacturers, you know.
I've kind of heard like two explanations of why the kayak groups don't show up too much there at the sport fishing, you know, at ICAST. Is that number one, it's kind of getting towards the end of their fiscal year. The other one is they spend more time and more effort on the outdoor retailer show, which is coming up in another month or two.
Yeah.
But I believe that, I don't know, I guess, it's kind of a marketing thing. And when you're at the end of your year, you're kind of short on funds and stuff like that. I know I talked to Chuck a little bit earlier today, and, you know, he was talking about what some of the guys were saying, you know, that some of the vendors he was talking to. But only four kayak manufacturers. Now, I know Hobie, of course, is going to show up because they're sporting the brand new PA-12, right?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and spill the beans now. They won best in show. That's best product out of everybody there for the convention. They took home best in show for the Pro Angler 12.
Uh-huh. And you took a look at it? You saw it? How's it look?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll try to get a, you know, video of it that we took and put it up. I was impressed. The seat on that thing is an upgraded seat, and it's freaking awesome. It's got lumbar support. You know, you turn little handles at the bottom. You can adjust how firm or soft the bottom is.
Right.
Now, the question is, how well will all that stand up over time?
Right.
I'm thinking probably pretty good. You know, Hobie's got a lot of experience in saltwater with the sailboats. You know, they can fall back on all that technology. So
they do have a little bit of reach back.
The seat on that thing was awesome.
Yeah, did you get to sit in it and everything?
No, they got it set up. You can't really sit in it, but just looking at, you know, how you can adjust it and everything, it's pretty cool.
Well, I seen the pictures of it, and Brad Stevens from Sunjammers up in Panama City, he's had some pictures up on his site, and it does look like a pretty interesting boat, but it's rather large, isn't it? I mean,
it's 12 foot. You know, it's just like the other one, the Pro Angler. That, it's not a kayak, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's a pedal boat.
Right.
You would kill yourself trying to paddle that thing any long distance in any kind of weather. You know, if you had to. Of course, you know, if you have the turbofan, so.
Right.
You know, if you got stuck somewhere where it was shallow and you couldn't use those fins and you ran into some weather, you're going to be hurt.
Push-pull.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, you go over to the no motor zone in the Cars Park, and you get stuck at the wrong end of that place in a strong wind, you ain't using no pole either because it's muddy as heck.
Right.
So you're not going to go anywhere. So, I don't know. I wouldn't want to have to
paddle that.
Yeah. It looks pretty cool, though.
Cool. All right, let me take a quick second here and say, the chef there in the chat room, he's actually getting married on the cruise in the Bahamas on August 11th. So congrats to that and happy marriage there. They're going to be in Merritt Island August 5th through 8th and the 13th through 16th. And Chuck is just showing up. So, Chuck, you're going to have to take the chef fishing there, man, on his honeymoon. How's that?
Let's do this,
man. So Chuck has been there at ICAST also. Chuck, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah? How was it, man? What's your opinions?
My brain is mush.
It's mush?
I'm trying to absorb everything that has been going on the last 2 days. And I met my good friend Bill. Even though we're in the exact same location, we couldn't pull off the meeting today. I couldn't find him because when he was in a spot where I knew he was at, I was in the middle of an interview, and it's crazy, man. It's not, you know, it's a lot of fun. I've been to a lot of trade shows, a lot of tackle shows, just because I've, you know, been able to work in the tackle industry for a while in the tackle shop and such. It's like nothing that you've probably ever experienced in your life. If you've been to trade shows before, it's just mind-boggling, man. It's just, there's so much to take in. I think Bill can attest to this. There's just so much going on that it's really hard to kind of focus and say, okay, I need to do this, and this. I want to go look at this because it's like, for me, I've got attention deficit disorder, I think. I'll be walking down a booth and I'll be walking down an aisle. All of a sudden, I'm like, squirrel! And I look over and it's like something completely different than what I wanted to look at. And you find yourself spending 30 minutes sometimes in a booth, and then you look down at your watch and you're like, oh my God, there's only an hour left for today. So it's just crazy, man. There's a lot of new stuff. There's a lot of the same stuff. I was really kind of disappointed that there wasn't a stronger kayak representation out there, whether it be some gear for kayaks or the kayak brands themselves. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
So does it look like the sport fish, I mean, from you guys' opinion out there, sport fishing, does it seem like we're doing well? Is there a lot of new products out there, or is it just the same old? I mean, usually you see a lot of, you know, good standard brands hanging in there, but I mean, do we got a lot to look forward to coming up?
I would say yes, in the respect that there's a lot of new companies that are spending a lot of money to try and make their brand work. There's a rod company there, that I've never heard of before. They're also going to start dabbling a little bit in real manufacturing as well. And I think they were called 13 or something like that. They spent a ton of money on their booth. And the booth was incredible. Their products were pretty cool. The rods they have were pretty cool. So to see that, at least that's encouraging, you know, that it's, it seems that people are still wanting to grow the sport of fishing itself and not just settle for the Penn, Shimano, Daiwa, Akuma lines. You know what I'm saying? There's still some growth being seen. But with that said, honestly, there wasn't a lot of new stuff. Most of the manufacturers that you may use now were represented and represented well, but in the new product showcase, there really wasn't a whole lot of stuff from different brands. I mean, like, Tree Loomis won Best Fly Rod of the show with the same rod they won with last year, but this year they put in a two-piece model rather than a four-piece model.
Hmm.
So it's like the same thing, just two pieces. You know?
Wow. A two-piece rod? Really?
Yeah. That's that concept. But like Penn came out with the new Spin Fisher for the 50th anniversary or something like that of the Spin Fisher 60M, whatever. But that was a cool reel. I mean, I spent some time with my buddy Brian there in the booth who works for Pure Fishing and but I mean, that was pretty much it. That Shimano's had a couple of new reels. They redeveloped the Cerros reel, if any of you guys are familiar with that reel. That is probably one of my favorite all-time reels that I ever owned, was the older Cerros. It's just durable as all get out. They've changed it up a bit. They've increased the price by $10, which is standard for Shimano. They always do that. And then, I don't know, Kuma had a bunch of stuff. This will be my opportunity, and along with my show Monday, this is my opportunity to vent about Akuma. I went to the Akuma booth with high expectations of being able to speak with somebody and get a really good interview about how they've come from being the laughing stock, so to speak, of the industry, because they have been, to now actually competing with the likes of Daiwa, Shimano, and Penn, which they could do. And I walked in the booth seven times, different occasions. And never once was I ever approached by a representative. And so every other booth, and Bill can tell you this, every other booth you walk into, they're pretty receptive. They want to talk to you. They want to at least introduce themselves. Well, not everybody, but a lot of other booths. I mean, there was
I had the same thing happen to me at the Eagle Claw right in McGill. Me and Mark walked in there, and there was no one there. All the reps were just standing around, you know, BSing amongst each other. And we were there 10 minutes, turned around and walked out. So I let them know about it on their Facebook page last night. You know, I just said, hey, guys, just a little observation. I went there with some questions and some things I wanted to share with you, and no one approached us. I don't know whether it's because we've got the media badges and you guys are looking to sell stuff. I don't know, but I was a little disappointed. I went back today, and they couldn't have been nicer. They were... I had Blair Wiggins. I had Kevin McNabb from Addictive Fishing, producer. I had one of the guys from Ryan Miguel all over me. So
somebody snapped them too there, huh?
Well,
I feel your pain, Chuck, because it happened more than once.
Yeah, and it was funny to me because with the Kuma. Today, finally, I was like, you know what? No, I'm not having this. So I walked into the booth, and I walk up to the guy, the only guy in the entire booth with a sports coat on, so I figured it's probably kind of important. I walked up to him, and I said, hey, how's...
Chuck? Chuck just got knocked off. So the Akuma sniper took him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, never know who's in the trees, man. You just never know.
We'll give him a chance to call back in.
So,
his phone died.
I have a list of the best in shows. If you want to go over those.
All right, let's let me get Chuck back in here. He just dialed back in. Hey man, you got to watch out for the Akuma sniper, man. He took you out.
Yeah, apparently. It was funny because. I walked up to him and said, hey, you know, I introduced myself, whatever, and told him, you know, who I'm with and what I'm about or whatever. And I said, I just want to let you know I was in your booth several times over the course of the last 2 days, and not once have I been approached by anybody to talk to me. I said, yeah, I'm wearing a media badge. And I kind of gave him the riot act. I was like, look, I was like, ICAST is not just for selling. ICAST is also for you to have an opportunity to showcase your products to the media so that we can give you coverage. I said, I wanted to do a whole segment on your product. I've been talking about it on my radio show for a while now that I'm excited about seeing even the Akuma stuff. And, you know, now I have zero desire whatsoever to give you any coverage. So, congratulations. And I turned around and walked right out of his booth.
He didn't chase you down?
Well, about 15 minutes later, I'm at a booth pretty close to his, to the Akuma booth. And the same guy walks up to me and goes, hey, I just wanted to have an opportunity to apologize. And I said, look, I'm not looking for an apology. All right. I wanted to make you aware of the fact that your sales team and your representatives that are inside your booth are not doing their job. And while that might seem kind of harsh to you, the reality of the situation is this is a big show. And we don't all have all day long to wait on you to talk to us. And, you know, we have to be able to have our moment and then move on. And right now, you don't have your moment because somebody else will. And I walked away. So there you go.
Dang.
That's my rant with Akuma. The same thing happened over at the 13 booth.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happened over at the 13 booth. I went over there the first day and was well received at first. And then when the guy who I was talking to realized that I wasn't a dealer, he literally walked away from me. And I was like, no, see, that doesn't work very well for me because I don't give a crap who you are.
Because Zach Brown don't play that way.
Don't play that way. He's trying to bust out the guitar. So, Honky Tonk Man
yeah,
style.
Yeah, I'll put your toes in the water and ass in the sand. Boy, you get back over here and talk to me.
No, but you, Mr. Becker. But you know what, man? It was like, it aggravated me. And it bothered me all night last night because I'm sitting at the house. I'm like, man, I really wanted to. Because I was interested in the brand. I really wanted to keep talking to the guy. So today, same as with Akuma, I made it a point to walk in there and express my discontent for the guy who wasn't there today for whatever reason. Maybe they fired him because of that. But it's funny because half of the company sounds like they're from Canada. They have that northern accent, right? So I, the guy's like, who was he? I go, I don't know. He talked like you. I have no clue. I said, he sounds like he's from Canada or something. I think he's a Northwest sales rep or something like that. And he goes, oh, yeah. He'll be back by in a little while. I said, well, great. Let's talk now. And he's like, well, what happened? And I told him. And after this is all said and done, my whole spiel with them, whatever, the guy was like, well, listen, is there anything we can do to maybe try and, you know, get you to help us out a little bit? And I'm like, sure. Send me a rod. I'll do a review on it. And the guy kind of like looks at me and goes, okay, what size do you want? I'm like, yes. But, no, it was good.
And then next week when Akuma announces their new Zach Brown reel, it's going to be.
That ain't happening, brother. I can assure you that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that tomorrow I need to watch out for ninja stars and stuff like that being thrown at me out of the Akuma booth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might want to put your toque on and just go undercover.
That's right. There carry your guitar around and just blend in and start signing
autographs.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, we had the complete opposite with the Magellan rep that we saw first thing Monday morning. That guy couldn't have been better.
Are you guys all sporting new Magellans?
Well, no, but you know, we did give them a pretty good idea. You know, it's something that they hadn't thought of. And but I mean, he took his time, went all over the handheld models. You know, was very receptive. And that's one of the things I think we'll probably be doing a review. One of us will be. You know, because they're gonna send us one out, and it's pretty. It's a pretty little badass little unit.
Cool.
Bill, so, I talked to him again today, buddy. He's going to end up sending us out a couple of them.
Great. That's cool.
So Bill has a list of all the best in show and all that kind of stuff. So, Bill, why don't you go through that and let us know what we're looking at.
This is not the complete list. I just pulled off some things that I, you know, that more relate to us. So I already, best in show was the Hobie Pro Angler 12.
Mm-hmm.
Apparel went to Columbia for the Airgill Chill Zero long sleeve shirt.
That is
nice. Not seen.
It's nice.
So we'll go see that tomorrow.
Cool.
The best combo was the Penn Battle combo. So I'm not quite sure what that one was. I didn't look at that one. Electronics was a Hummingbird 360 Imaging. Eyewear was Costa Del Mar 580p Sunrise Lens. The fly reel was the Wright McGill Sabalas saltwater reel.
Cool.
The fly rod, like we already said, was the G Lumis NRX. The freshwater reel was the Abu Garcia Revo. And the freshwater rod was the St. Croix Legend Extreme.
Cool.
And the best line, and I guess this covers both salt and freshwater, was the Pure Fishing Berkeley Trilene XL XT. The hard lure was the Coppers Fishing, with a K, Coppers Fishing. I've never heard of those. It was some kind of frog popper.
Okay.
I don't even remember. So they had all, when you came in, they had a area with all new product showcase. And we looked, Mark and I looked at all those, and some of these I don't recall seeing. So we must have I must have skipped over them or something.
Or it's really small.
Yeah. The soft lure was the Lunker Hunt BP Baits. Oh, let me see if there's more information on that one. I can't.
I'll tell you one thing, Chip, real quick, that was really interesting and is kind of very strange to me. Is every manufacturer of lure had some sort of a Alabama style rig or umbrella rig?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah,
and there was like, I saw an umbrella rig for crappie. Like, really?
Yeah.
An umbrella rig for crappie? And
so,
literally, like little tiny shads. I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing.
Well, do we have one for redfish yet?
Why you got to be so negative?
I'm not, man.
That's a good question, because would that be legal in saltwater? I don't see why it wouldn't be. But
well,
I know so far you're limited to the number of hooks you can have on a lure.
Right.
But those aren't those considered different lures because they're rigged that way on the umbrella? I mean, you control big rigs with hooks on everything. I mean, usually you don't want to have hooks on everything. Those stripers up North Carolina and north.
I'm talking Florida. I'm not.
Okay.
So let me finish. I'm almost done with this.
Okay,
list.
Go ahead.
So the saltwater reel was Pure Fishing. And that is the company that took, they bought out Penn, was the Penn Spinfisher 5.
Right.
Saltwater rod was the St. Croix Legend Inshore, which I don't think that's new. I think that's been out for a while, so
right.
Unless they did something to it. And the terminal tackle was, again, Pure Fishing Gulp jig heads.
Gulp has jig heads now.
Yeah, well, it just lists Berkeley Gulp jig head, so it must be jig head specifically for, you know, a gulp.
Huh.
Are they stinky?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen them. I'm going to check them out tomorrow.
All right.
I'm not very impressed with them.
Well, Chuck's not impressed with them. Chuck, don't be a hater, Chuck.
And like he'll go in tomorrow and tell them that, too.
Yeah, he'll go tomorrow.
I will.
They'll change
that. That's not the entire list.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the list. I left a few things out, so.
I'm going to tell you, there's a lure that you guys have to look for. It's from Livingston Lure Company. They make crankbaits and other kinds of baits, but they make a topwater bait, much like a Skitterwalk or a Spook Junior or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And the paint job on it is incredible. The weight of it is really nice. The hooks look pretty good, but when it gets wet, it has a croaker sound in it.
Wow.
I'm telling you, like, I'm actually really, really excited about the thing. The guy's like, you got to hear it, though. I'm like, I'm hearing him, shaking him. It's like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I'm like, yeah, I hear it. It sounds good. He's like, no. Put it up to your ears. I put it to my ear, and he's like, now put your finger on the screws that go into the body, and I do. And he goes, I'm like, oh,
that's going to destroy the trout, man.
Yeah,
something like that.
That was pretty cool.
All right. Well, guys, that's great, man. That's awesome news. Now, one more thing I was wondering, as far as, like, new companies, new startups, that kind of thing, did you see any of those folks there, new guys? Is the industry expanding, or is it just the same old bros?
I saw a lot of Japanese rods, Japanese tackle there.
Uh-huh.
You know, Japanese companies, Japanese, you know, most of the stuff probably geared more toward deeper water type fishing.
Right.
But, yeah.
The Japanese, sorry, go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that's the one thing that really caught my attention was just the number of Japanese companies there.
Hmm.
The Japanese folks traditionally are there to do bulk sales.
Mm-hmm.
Their lure companies and so on and so forth. Last ICAST I went to and every big trade show that I've been to, there's always a strong Asian presence there because obviously, 90% of the crap we use is from over there. So they do a lot of private labeling. They do a lot of, hey, this is our stuff, and for this amount, you know, if you order 5,000 of this topwater plug, we'll put your company logo on it, and you can call it yours, and we'll package it for you and everything and send it over in containers. Same thing goes with their reels. Last year or a couple years ago, there was a reel company there called Omoto, and Omoto Reels was doing private labeling for another company called Stingray.
Hmm.
And then another company came out with the exact same reel line, I mean, to a T. It was the exact same reel with a different name on it a few years later. So I think when they come, like, the rods they had there were pretty cool, kind of like next-level stuff. They had really cool components on them and stuff. They look really nice. But for the most part, most of their terminal tackle and lures and that kind of thing, I think a lot of it was for that reason.
Kind of fighting brand stuff.
Yeah, but what I was really kind of surprised to see was the amount of commercial fishing stuff that was there. I don't know
really,
if you caught on to that, Bill, but there was quite a bit of commercial items from the Far East. Big buoys and things like that, and huge skeins of like 400 pound monofilament, and you know, crazy like underwater lights and all kinds of stuff for that use.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's ICAST is kind of one of those funny things. It's like you know to expect a certain amount of that stuff, but I was kind of disappointed, if you want to know the truth about it. I was hoping that there would be a lot more new stuff from all the different brands than what there really was. I mean, to me, I think Shimano changed up three of their reels out of all the reels that they do. I think they have four new rods, maybe.
or lines of rods, which aren't really new. They just kind of revamped them. And that's about the standard, I think, across the board for everybody. A handful of things were changed. Everything else is pretty much the same. I think Berkeley's got a new gulp. I mean, they call it a, what was it? Oh, man. Mantis shrimp. They have a mantis shrimp that has, like, an extra flipper on the back of it or whatever. And then who else? I don't know, man. It was, there's a lot of, like, the same stuff. But the few companies that I noticed that were completely different or new to me were, like, the Livingston Lures. I wasn't really familiar with them. There's a lot of sunglass companies that are out there that were really cool, that were really affordable.
Yeah, I talked to most of them today.
I got by and talked to the guys from Typhoon, Typhoon Eyewear, and they couldn't have been nicer people. Had some really cool frame styles, really cool lenses or whatever. But, yeah, it was, I mean, it was fun, you know. I mean, and then I think, to me, the coolest part about it is to see the cast of characters that are walking around the show. Like, obviously, you know, the Chad Hoover was there. Jim Sammons was there. There was a bunch of those types of guys. And then you see, like, Lefty Cray walk by, and you're just, you kind of just stop, and you're kind of in awe. Oh, look, that's Lefty. Or, oh, yeah, look, there goes Flip Pallet, you know. And, oh, look, there's so-and-so. So that was cool.
Breakfast with Shaw Grigsby.
Yeah?
There you go.
Cool.
Oh, I'll tell you, the coolest dude I met the entire weekend, or the entire week so far, had to have been hands down, oh, man, now I'm going to forget his name.
Mike Ortigo?
Tennessee Hat guy. What's that guy's name?
Bill Dance.
Tennessee Hat. Bill Dance.
Oh, Bill Dance.
Was the man. Like, I walked up to Bill Dance, and I just want to shake his hand because, I mean, I watched all of his bloopers, and I watched his shows growing up. And he's like, hey, buddy, how's it going, man? I ain't seen you in a while. I'm like, I ain't never even met you before, but we'll go with it. I'm like, yeah. Hey, how's it going, Bill, man? I ain't seen you in forever.
What are we going to visit?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
That old boy can bang into a trailer hitch better than anybody I know.
He can fall off the front of a boat.
I'm telling you, dude. No, but he was super cool, super nice guy. C.A. Richardson was there. He was a nice guy. I talked to him a little bit. So yeah, it was cool to see that, you know. And a lot of folks, I think, were kind of taken back by the amount of coverage that the kayak community was giving it, because I know a few booths I walked into and we're talking to people, they're like, what is Yak Angler? what does that even mean? And I'm like, kayaking, man. Kayak angler, yak angler. And they're like, oh. So
it goes
like
this. Hang on.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
All you got to do is listen to the podcast and they'll know who Yak Angler is.
I literally had like four companies ask me if kayak fishing is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
I'm like, it's only the fastest growing form of fishing in the entire world. And he's like, oh,
I guess
maybe we should build kayak rods. I'm like, Jesus.
Wow.
The Overboard guys were there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Overboard, but this guy builds rods with floats that are built into the grips. Sometimes you see guys that put the pool noodle style things on their rods or whatever to keep them floating if they just dunk them. These are actually built to float, and I watched them float, and it's pretty cool. Nice guy. He's out of Jacksonville. I'm sure we're going to have him on one of the shows here shortly. Super big into kayak fishing. So that was cool to talk to him. I talked to him quite a bit, actually. And then there's some pretty cool, super secret new stuff coming out probably in the next year from a company that makes some pretty awesome fish bags for the bass style stuff.
Yeah.
You know, weigh bags. This guy and his wife have this amazing material that they use to make these bags that's basically like destruction proof. And I got to sit down, me and Isaac walked over to Point Orlando and went to this place called The Pub to eat lunch one day, and this husband and wife just happened to come in with us or right behind us, and we got to talking, and I kind of threw some ideas their way, and they kind of threw some ideas my way, and let's just say as soon as I get an email confirmation it's okay to talk about it, it's going to be pretty cool for those of you that care about the care of your kayak from vehicle to launch site.
Ah, okay.
There you go. Super secret stuff.
All right. Well, you heard it here on Kayak Fishing Radio. So, well, that's awesome, man. And for those of you, again, ICAST is it's an industry show, so it's not open to the general public, right? It's just media, industry reps, and retailers.
I actually kicked somebody out Wednesday, like shortly after we got there. I went back out in the lobby, and I noticed these people walking in, and they had a really long, hard case, you know, like those hard cases a rifle comes in.
Yeah.
But this one was really, really long, so it's like probably, you know, they probably got some kind of fishing rod in there. And they had some other stuff with them. And then when I came through the lobby, I saw one of the staff, you know, the ICAST staff talking to, you know, well, he wasn't really talking. He was yelling at them. And from what I could piece together, it seemed like they were trying to sneak in to sell stuff, you know, and they hadn't paid. And this guy was like, you need to get the hell out of here, you know. It was pretty funny. I was like, damn, that's ballsy, man.
Well, you know, they try to crash the president's party and stuff. They'll try ICAST. all right. Well, very cool. And you guys are going back again tomorrow?
Yeah. We're going to go back tomorrow and hit some of these best in shows. I'm going to put a little article together for my magazine that I write for. And, you know, we've got a lot. Just looking over my list of things to review, I'll be doing reviews. If they all come through, we'll be doing reviews till next year.
Cool.
So some of the things are just, you know, briefly, the overboard fishing rods that Chuck was talking about, I'm picking one of those up tomorrow to do a review on. Boomerang. They make the little line snippers.
Yeah.
They have a, like an XL version of that for heavier mono or fluorocarbon leader. It's a lot bigger. And they also are coming out with pliers.
I saw the picture.
Pliers were sick.
Yeah, those were pretty sweet. And, you know, I looked around today, and there was a few, you know, a handful, but not a lot of people with pliers. I was actually trying to get my hands on a pair to do some reviews and stuff. There will be some coming out next year, and I don't have it in front of me. My friend Wayne Bradby was in that booth, and it's a retractable, like retractable leashes is what they were mainly selling, but they have a pair of pliers in a sheath that has that built in.
Huh.
So it doesn't have that funky telephone curly cord on it.
Right.
It's made of Kevlar. Everything's stainless. So that was pretty cool. I hit a little company today called Marshworks out of Louisiana does a lot of saltwater lures and stuff. And some of their stuff looked really cool.
That's the Double L crew, man. Mark, he's part of Marshworks, right?
I don't know. Is he? He wasn't there. These guys were all Cajun, so.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's a pro staffer for Marshworks. They got some pretty cool colors. I like their colors.
I gave him crap for not having Root Beer Gold Flake, by the way.
They didn't have Root Beer Gold Flake?
Nope.
I was specifically looking for one of their popping corks because their popping corks down there, they use them, their tournament fishermen use them, and they're stupid ridiculously effective. And but it's a little different than the style that we're typically used to seeing here in Florida. It's more of a cupped cork, and the wire on it's a lot shorter.
Right.
So I've got one of those. I'm going to do, you know, just kind of do a quick review on that. But that's one of the things I was looking for.
Cool. Awesome. And yeah, all these reviews will be on yakangler.com. And probably do some stuff for the blade too, right?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to try to incorporate the whole thing into a short little article for them. And I'm gonna gear it towards stuff that they, you know, Z-Man lures are real big down in Australia.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to go visit them tomorrow and get some, you know, get some pictures and talk to them and stuff.
Very cool. If you go back by Marshworks, ask them if they got some of the Crocane.
Crocane, okay.
Yeah, that's the color that Chris, Mark's wife, that's her favorite color, and it is pretty sick color, the Crocane.
I'll check it out.
All right, so hey, man,
I'm picking up a new boat tomorrow.
A new boat?
Yeah, I'm picking up my big tuna tomorrow.
Your big tuna?
Yeah, man.
You outgrew the Cuda head. Now you got to get a big tuna head.
Now I got two Cudas coming too, but I'm picking up my big tuna tomorrow.
All right. Well, cool. Then, so you'll hear more, I'm sure, on Chuck's show on Monday, and keep your eyes out at yakangler.com for the reviews from all the guys that were down there: Bill and Chuck. And Yak Sushi and Isaac, the Nothing, will be there. And Stuart's in the chat room there, sticking with his Cuda head. That's great, man. It turned out we just about filled up an hour here. That's awesome. And some good info. But the one thing that I will say in the last couple of minutes here, I always look, when I go to a convention, I always look for the, what I call the Lenny Award. You know, the thing that's just so out of place, that is just so silly. You know, it's like the pocket fisherman. The thing that, what, did you see anything there that we can give the Lenny Award to? The most ridiculous thing that you saw?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a picture of it. It's a $60 top water lure. $60.
$60 for a topwater lure.
$60 for a topwater lure.
Oh, man. Speaking of topwater lures, if you haven't seen the video that's just surfaced on Facebook or on YouTube of the shark taking out a redfish, it's just popped up. I'll make sure that I share it on the site. It came from the Plano website today. But this young girl is standing on a little dock behind a condo on one of the estuaries in North Carolina there, in about 10, 15 feet of water. But she's like 10 feet above the water, reeling in what looks to be a slot-sized redfish. And the guy's got a net with must have been about a 15-foot pole on it, trying to get the redfish in the net. And all of a sudden, it looks to be about a 12 to 15-foot bull shark comes up and takes out that redfish like it was a topwater plug, man. It was crazy.
That's sick.
Yeah, so you have to check that one out. It made the news tonight. It was pretty funny. But, so you guys are headed back tomorrow. You got any plans for the weekend, Bill?
Rest,
okay. Catch up. And Rob, how about you, man? Rob's falling asleep. Come back to you. Chuck, what's your weekend plans, man? You're going back to the show tomorrow, and then you'll probably put the tuna in the water this weekend, right?
I don't know, man. I got probably some brownie points to make up for with the wife, and so that'll probably take over the majority of my weekend. But I had one of those award thingies you were talking about. Bill had a $60 topwater plug. For me, There's I can't tell you the name of it, so I don't remember it, but there's a lure that has a gear in it that you twist
to bring the hook into the body of the lure. And when a fish eats the lure, okay, see if you can follow me. When a fish eats the lure, the hook comes detached from the lure. The little gear mechanism spins, releasing like a foot and a quarter, maybe, leader-type material attached to the hook. So you're fighting a fish from not the eye of the lure as much as you're fighting the fish from the leader. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty complicated there. About way too complicated for your average fisherman. And what kind of maintenance program do you have to have on this lure?
Dude, I don't know, man. But if they were big too, that was the crazy thing. It's like the size of a rather large mullet. And if a fish that size were to eat this thing, I don't see what's inside of it that would hold that piece of material, that leader, intact with this plastic gear that you turn to retract it back into the body. It's like the craziest thing that I saw there. I mean, there's some really odd stuff. The musky fishermen must be big prevalent like thing going on, because there was one soft plastic company that literally had like a 2-foot eel, rubber eel. 2 foot.
Yeah. So, well, crazy. The bigger the bait, the bigger the fish, right?
Yep.
All right. All right, well, keep your eyes open. Get a cut sheet on that gear lure thing, man. We want to see what that looks like and take a picture of it. Yeah. Rob, have you caught back up yet, man? Are you there? No, I think Rob's...
Dave's not here, man.
Rob's not here, man.
Well, dude, it's after dark. The dock lights are on.
That's right. The dock lights are on, and Rob's out under the dock lights. So, Mr. Becker, man, you show up, and then we've got ICAST to talk about, so we don't get to... But we did get some good Zach Brown jokes out there. So, how about you, man?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Hey, at least I didn't make one on the I was going to make a Zach Brown comment on the picture that Haywood sent me about how cool you guys are hanging out with Zach Brown at ICAST, but I didn't.
Yeah, that's right.
I do have a Tebow picture.
A Tebow.
Did you really? Somebody Tebowed.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say who.
Nice. Yeah, my expectation at this point is that my weekend will be spent continuing to make sure that those affected by Tropical Storm Debbie in Florida's West Coast get what they need to get better.
Awesome, man. So, all right. Well, if there's anything that we can do or help out on or whatever, let us know, man. Stay in touch. You got to come You got to come up for air every now and then.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to an actual day off. My last Monday was my first day off, and a stupid amount of time, and I spent it doing 6 hours worth of yard work that gave me blisters through the gloves. So I either need to toughen up some and man up, or need to allocate my time more appropriately.
Well, you know that there's, like, when you go out in the sun, you get vitamin D, right? It kind of builds in your system. You actually get a vitamin from fishing that, you know, when you lose it, it makes your skin weak and you get blisters and stuff like that.
Nice.
So you have to fish every now and then to keep that from happening.
I think at this point I'm actually vitamin D negative. So.
You have to get out in the sun just to neutralize the blue color, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. All right, man. Well, it's good to hear from you. Good. Don't be a stranger.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. And Shark, you still there? You hanging in with us? I know you went on mute. All right. Well...
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about
that, guys. Ah, no worries, man. So, did you have anything to add? What's your game plan for the weekend? You going to go fishing?
I'm going to try to hit the Navy base over there in Pensacola. It was pretty good last weekend. They had to open up the Charlie Pier. I don't know if you guys know anything about that place. But it's an inshore pier that holds grouper, redfish, red snapper, everything. It's amazing. So.
Oh yeah.
Hey, you got to be careful with those Navy boys. They'll try to grab you and group you when you're not looking. So be careful.
Wow.
Sounds good. All right, guys.
Well, Shark, I'll tell you. Don't forget to look to your east there in the Panhandle. the folks at Panama City are a great bunch of folks over there, the Panama City Kayak Fishing Group. And there's a great tackle shop right there, just a little bit west of the pier. It's called Sunjammers. Brad Stevens is the proprietor, and he's always there and willing to help out. And there's some really good folks. Check them out. Look at them on Facebook, Panama City Kayak Fishing. And I don't know if there's a big group in Pensacola yet, but the Panama City folks, they get offshore, just a couple of miles offshore, and they're catching snapper. And a buddy of mine has been down there, our acquaintance. He's caught 3, 4, 5 sailfish now off the beach in his kayak.
Yeah, they have a pretty nice kayak club here. It's called they're on Facebook too. It's called the Gulf Coast Kayak Fishing.
Okay.
GCKFA. They're pretty good.
So check them all out, man, and let us know how you're doing down there. All right.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm still trying to understand how you guys run the show, and so I'm trying to like learn the process before I chime in.
No worries, man. It's good to have you aboard.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. And that's going to about do it for tonight. I will say before we go, remember, we're 85 days in a wake-up from the boondoggle. And what the heck is a boondoggle?
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com. The ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go, yakangler.com/boondoggle or kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle. We're 85 days in a wake up. We're going to be in Virginia Beach at First Landing State Park. We've got a great bunch of folks that are going to show up. There's no admission charge. You just pay your own way up there, find you a place to stay. There's several campgrounds, and just let us know if you need some help finding a place to stay, and we'll try to set you up there. So join us if you can. If not, you're going to hear all about it. But we'll see you next week, and thanks, everybody, in the chat room there. It's been kind of quiet. I see Stuart and Red Raider and the Fishing Chef and all them. Fishing Chef, enjoy your – yeah, we're going to need to bring some of that sweet water. I got a keg on order there, Chef. Don't worry about that. You just take care of yourself in that. Get married and go see Chuck, and look forward to meeting you guys up there. LGB, good that you could join us, and we'll see all of you next week. Kayak Fishing Radio. Have a good night.
You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio.